Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hey, we just rolled into our next town, working our way north, hoping to get to another preach. We have possible rain again this weekend. It'll be the third weekend that our preach has been rained out. Lots of rain down here. And so, but that's okay, because we're street preaching every day, holding gospel signs, witnessing to people. So got to get used to that in this spring weather. Hey, today I want to bring a teaching to you. Came up today with a man that, actually two men that I was in contact with. One man that I've been emailing and we talked, and another man saw us, saw my wife, Sister Amin, in a grocery store and saw me outside with the gospel van with the gospel signs on it. And he contacted me and we talked. So here is the topic and the title of my teaching today. Learning on your own. Are you a Diotrephes? Learning on your own. Are you a Diotrephes? Yeah, so I get this fairly common from people who find our website and they meet us in the streets. And I want to address it biblically and cover it here. The idea is this, ready? So you get these people, and sometimes they've been deceived by modern religion, or sometimes they just aren't sure about themselves, or they may be new to the faith, and they'll say, I don't really want to learn from anybody. I just want to read the Bible and do it on my own and get my truth there, not from other men. Question, does that sound like a biblical approach to you? Well, let's talk about it. I believe, according to Scripture, that's a twisted, unbiblical, selfish idea and a wrong way. And again, it's usually, this is my experience, it's usually from people that don't really want to obey all the Scriptures in holiness quickly. They make a lot of excuses. That's been my experience. They make a lot of excuses to not follow sound doctrine quickly. And they don't want accountability to come out of the sin, worldliness, false doctrines that they've been keeping. They pretty much want to do it on their own with no accountability whatsoever. That's not biblical at all. We're going to talk about that. Again, I mentioned a couple of men. One man recently said he didn't want me to teach him anything. Why? He'd been deceived by evangelicalism for 30 years, 20 years, something like that. And so he wants to learn all on his own. Well, problem was, he admitted he'd been reading my website for quite a while and he couldn't find any error in my doctrines, including the gospel and everything he had read that I taught, but he still didn't want to take any teaching from me. I think I know why. Yeah, he kind of alluded that his wife is not where he is and him making a lot of quick changes was going to cause problems in his house. I see that all the time. Men adjusting for their wives, adjusting for their children, adjusting for extended family, adjusting for religious bodies. They make all these exclusions, yet Jesus told the guy, hey, you want to go back and bury your father? Let the dead bury the dead. Come follow me. And many of these people that make these excuses, not many, all of them end up going back with those people, and that means they're not moving forward in the things of God. I told that man, hey, you were deceived by them because all those years you just believed what they said and you weren't studying and testing and seeking on your own, were you? He said, no. I said, I tell you to test everything I say to the Word of God and do it instantly. That's how you cannot be deceived. Well, that really didn't go over very well, and he's convinced that he just wants to go learn on his own, and that's fine. Everyone's free to choose their own way, but is it biblical to do that? No, I don't think it is. It's a big difference learning from evangelicals blindly versus learning from men that you say, hey, I can't find any fault in your gospel, in your life, in your theology, that I'm going to test you to the Word. That's a big difference. It is. So you see, God's body is so diverse. Hand, eyes, nose, foot, right? That's what the Bible teaches. We all have different gifts and different callings, and God knows best. The Father knows best. And in Ephesians 4, he tells us this little something that pretty much shoots them in the foot when they say, I don't want to learn from other men. Ready? Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. You hear that word? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Did you catch that? He brings teachers. God gave teachers to help with the edification and the training up of the body. That would rule out these men that go, I want to do it all on my own. And so let's talk about that for a minute. Yeah, sure. You can go learn all on your own. Let me give a testimony. I had to. I had no choice. When I was born again, all I had was my wife, Sister Amen, who was born again a few weeks after me. I had no godly men in my life. I had no choice but to push on in the scriptures. Wow, would I have loved to have an older godly man, sound in doctrine, to learn and grow up with. I didn't. I had to go on my own. But problem is, there's a difference between being on your own with nobody else around you, or God puts people right in your path that you can test them to the gospel, test their doctrine, see their life, see they're not selling the gospel, see they're not worldly, and then you reject them still to do your own thing. No, that's sinful. That's going outside of God's plan for the body. And I always like to tell people, sure, you can learn all on your own and make all the mistakes and take all the time to learn it as a novice, but like being a farmer. Can you imagine if you started out being a farmer from ground zero and you didn't know nothing? How long it would take you to learn all of the things about farming? But if you had a farmer who had been farming for 20 or 30 years train you, how fast, in about 6 months or a year, could you become a really good farmer? Watching him, getting instruction from him, testing him, yeah? Yeah, real fast, you could become a good farmer. So the idea that God uses what's called like a journeyman, a teacher, elders, someone that can train you, this is very, very biblical. And speaking of teachers, trainers, older men, elder in the faith, Hebrews 13:17, the Bible says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And in 1 Timothy 3:2, Paul talks about leaders should be apt to teach. So all over scripture in the New Testament, we see, even in the Old, we see men are to be teaching, instructing. How's that happening if you're just a lone ranger, a Diotrephes? I mentioned him. We're going to talk about Diotrephes in just a little bit. If you don't know about him, we'll talk about him in a minute. So the people, especially that are young and new in the faith, have just come out of a lot of false religion, Roman Catholicism, evangelicalism, whatever, they should be hungering to meet older godly saints, then test their gospel, test their life, test everything they teach. They should be praising God when they're brought into their life. But many times I see, I'm going to go do it on my own. And again, I think it's because the wife isn't further along, the children aren't further along, they love their career, they know it's sinful, and they don't want to be held accountable to that. They got to leave their church body, and they're going to take 2 years to do it rather than leaving today. All kinds of scenarios like that. They don't want to change their clothing. They don't want to change their hobbies. They don't want to change their associations. Those are all big ones. Their sports. Yeah, those are all big ones that people talk about. So the young people, everyone should desire to have older, mature people come in their life. Why? Matthew 5:48. Jesus said, be ye perfect. Go look up the Greek word. None of us are fully perfect, but that means complete and mature. You want to be complete and mature? Hang around with complete and mature people. You want to stumble around in the dark a long time? Do it on your own and make every mistake possible like I had to do. It's not a good option. I did it because I had no choice, all right? I wasn't rebellious. I just didn't know any godly biblical men. All I knew was churchianity and worldly people. So we can see that God's plan is that we speak into each other's life and we be taught as the body of Christ. Question, how is that done if you've made up your mind, no matter who God sends in your path, you're just going to go it on your own? Just met a man today. He saw our van, spoke a bunch of truth into his life. He brought up a ministry that he thinks is biblical. I actually was united to a young man from that ministry who lived on my land for months and months. Then he ended up falling away, went back to that cult ministry. It's a Hebrew roots type ministry. I knew all about the ministry. I got a testing of it. Yeah, God appointed. God put us right in that man's path. We had one incident today, and if we wouldn't have delayed 20 minutes, we wouldn't have been there. He saw us. I was able to speak truth into his life. He's getting swept away by Hebrew roots. And he was thankful, but then he didn't seem too willing to stay in touch, go to the scriptures together. Pretty much, I got your number. I'll talk to you later. I think, who knows? Who knows? I don't know for sure. Could be a matter of his wife. Could be a matter of himself. Maybe he doesn't want to leave family relationships. I don't know what it is. In this case, I don't know. But I definitely saw not a willingness to, wow, I met you. Let's sharpen iron together. We'll get to sharpening iron. Again, if you're all alone and you have no biblical godly men in sight, yeah, you got to strive on in the scriptures. And the Holy Spirit, he's the ultimate teacher. I get it. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. One of my favorite verses. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the Holy Spirit is the ultimate teacher. I can tell you things. I can point them in scripture. But then the Holy Spirit ultimately teaches you, right? But if you happen to meet godly older men, even if you meet somebody who's younger, and they have the solid gospel, you see no sin in them, they've come out of the world, they've come out of churchianity, they're biblical, they're sound, what are we commanded to do as people of God? Just reject them and go on our own? No. We're to test them to God's word. We're to seek Bible study together with them. We're to sharpen iron together. We're to try to move to biblical accountability. We're to eventually try to get to face-to-face fellowship if possible. I know some saints on the other side of the world, it'll be really hard to ever get face-to-face, so we do the best we can. But these men I know in the States, we strive to get together and meet face-to-face. When I meet men online or in the streets, online, or they find our website or whatever, we start a relationship, we Bible study, and then I let them know if it's ever going to go any further, we got to get face to face. And then they plan, I plan, and we strive to meet face to face. See, our families can see each other. Then we see what God can do between us to go further. So that's kind of the formula that I believe is biblical. I offer people either my website, I offer people regular Bible study, and then I offer people face to face, accountable, close, committed, biblical fellowship together. That's kind of the three things I do. So let's look at some scripture to support those five things that I just talked about. Number one, test all things. Yep, 1 Thess 5, prove, test all things. I tell everyone to test every single thing I say to the word of God. I have no truth. All I have is the word of God rightly divided. So we're to test everything. How about Bible study together? Seek to have Bible study together. Go read Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread in prayers. Yeah, they were in the doctrines of the apostles, studying the word of God, studying the letters Paul had written. Yeah, that's what we should be doing together. Lest you think I'm a heretic and in sin and false doctrine, well, then you better be showing it to me so I have a chance to repent of it, right? Today, another false man was angry that I messaged him about his elder who's a false teacher and I've exposed for years. He told me my testing was full of nothing but lies, and then instantly he blocked me on Facebook and ran away. Never proved one lie, and all the things on the testing are documented. So this man threw me to the curb for his elder practicing partiality, not even testing to the word of God, not even wanting to study the word of God together. We could have studied together. He didn't want to do that. So we're supposed to study according to Acts 2. How about sharpening iron with each other? Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpen iron, so a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. I just did a teaching on that. Look it up at the teaching blog at don'tperish.com. Iron sharpens iron. Men, rubbing against each other in the word of God sharpens us. All right? If you have other men, why would you not sharpen yourself on them? That glorifies God, gets you ready for ministry. Right? How about gathering together, uniting together, we talked about. Well, Hebrews 10:25. Don't forsake the gathering. Now, I teach on that at the teaching blog. Most of that is gathering to Christ, because it's talking about his second coming and the Jews were leaving the faith. That's what the book of Hebrews was all about. But it's true, we have biblical saints. We're called to gather with them. And you could gather in a text, you can gather in an email, you can gather on a phone call. Face-to-face is best, I get it. You can only do so much long distance. Doesn't mean we can't be encouraging each other, edifying each other, glorifying God long distance. Paul wrote letters. That's how we have 70% of the New Testament from Paul's letters. I did a whole teaching on long distance fellowship. I understand the limitations. I only go so far with long distance until we meet face to face and make a commitment to each other. But that's kind of another thing. Look up that long distance fellowship teaching at the teaching blog. And then how about daily exhortation and looking after each other? Hebrews 3:13. Exhort each other daily, lest you be caught up in the deceitfulness of sin. Yeah, we're called to do that. We're called to exhort each other. That's encourage, to edify, to lift each other up. Daily, it says. Sun comes up and goes down every day. God set it a pattern. We all need sleep every day, most of us. I don't know too many people that don't sleep every day unless they work some crazy schedule or something or they're sick. Yeah, how are we supposed to do these things if we're not following Scripture and when God puts godly people in our life? Jesus said this. This is key. Jesus said this in John 13, 34, 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Did you catch that? Jesus said, the world will know you're his if you love each other. Well, by this, I don't think hardly anybody is Jesus' people because they don't love. We see an unbelievable amount of a lack of love in those who are supposed to be true saints, left the world and left churchianity. Yeah, I'm talking about them. We know a handful of true saints that do love and stay accountable and stay connected and look after each other and care for each other and daily expend effort on each other. Oh, we know a handful of people like that. We praise God for you. Most everybody else, no. They're far from this. And so that has to be a question. How do you love other saints if you avoid them, don't study with them, don't look after them, you're not a blessing to them, you don't want to be accountable to them and them accountable to you? How are you obeying all these scriptures I've given you? You're not. You're not. And again, I understand the complexity of long distance. I'm by a big highway, sorry. I understand the complexities of long distance. Look up that article, but we can do much still to encourage and edify each other and glorify God. That's what I'm all about, glorifying God. I mean, I personally love having communication with godly men striving in the scriptures to speak into their lives. What would it say about me if I said, I don't want no godly men in my life. I don't want nobody teaching me nothing. I don't want nobody testing what I say. I don't want nobody holding me accountable. What would that say about me as a man of God? I would say, that would make me a Diotrephes. We're going to get to him right here in a second. I want to learn on my own, and I'm really just a Diotrephes if that's me. I want to say that I appreciate the men that I communicate with, brothers in the Lord, study the word with, hold each other accountable. I appreciate that in my life. I love that. I yearn for that more and more. What would it say about me if I didn't want that in my life? Thank you, brothers, for being there. What would that say about me if I didn't want that in my life? I would be a Diotrephes. Do you remember him? Do you know about this man? 3 John 1:9-11. And I wrote unto you the body, the ecclesia, about Diotrephes, who loved to have preeminence among them. He had pride. He receiveth us not. Therefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content wherewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and cast them out of the body, the ecclesia. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil has not seen God. Did you catch that? Diotrephes, yeah, he was a leader and he had pride. He was putting men out. He didn't want them to come and join him. Why? I'm guessing he was the head guy. He was lording over. He had a gig going. He didn't want to share with nobody. He didn't want to be accountable. He didn't want to learn from Paul or Peter or John or anybody else. I'm the man. I'm going to do my own thing, my own time, my own way. Hey, Diotrephes sounds like all these men I meet. Yeah, you got sound doctrine, but I'm going to go do it my way. No, I don't want accountability. No, I don't want to walk with anybody. No, I don't want you bringing sound doctrine into my house. If they were honest, my wife's not ready. My kids aren't ready. One man told me, I don't want to move too fast. I said, you don't want to move too fast to obey God? You're going to take one little thing at a time and take 3 years to get everything biblical. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, flee sin, evil, fornication, anything sexual, which could be unbiblical clothing. Flee every false way. Avoid all appearance of evil. Jesus said, I got to bring this up, speaking of this topic. Men don't want to be spoken to into their lives, but Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, preach the gospel in Matthew 16, go make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. I guess Jesus was into men teaching men, but these men that I meet, so pathetic and sad, they want to do it their own way, not to offend anyone in their family, in their jobs, not to offend their own flesh, but they're offending God in the meantime and throwing away God's people. Yeah, a little bit of righteous anger over this. I love them. I forgive them. But there is a little bit of righteous anger. They'll sit in false religious bodies for decades. But when the truth comes along, they throw it to the curb to stay in their compromised, lukewarm ways. I think a lot of them think, well, I left the evangelical, so I must be okay. No. If you left and you're not going into sound doctrine, you're still in Satan's kingdom, which is false religion and the world and deception. You got to enter God's kingdom via the gospel, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, repentance to him, be born from above. The fruit is holiness and obedience. That's what we're talking about here. Clinging to sound doctrine that saves you, 1 Timothy 4:16, and enduring in that. You can't just coast. Go read Revelation 2 and 3, men. You're going to be spewed out of his mouth as lukewarm, and your lampstand's going to be gone as you live in your sin and your false ways. Yeah. And it is so sad. A lot of people are diatrophies-like. And we know so few, as I said, that love. And we know so few that will come. A puny number, Matthew 7 says, in the last days will come. And Jesus said this in Matthew 24, 12 and 13. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Oh, I should magnify that scripture verse 1,000 times. I'm telling you, love is as rare as a 1,000-pound nugget out here. Love of the so-called true saints. It is. That's why we appreciate the handful of people that really are godly, holy, loving people. It's fruit that they really are of God. All these other people, they just use you for a minute or two, then throw you aside when it's easy, and they keep going. I don't want to be them on Judgment Day. God puts us right in the path of people. I have no truth. I got nothing to offer people, but God's truth. But God puts us right in people's path. And let me tell you something. You know what's amazing to me? You can't believe the number of men and women have said to us, I've been praying that God would bring me somebody in my path to help me. And God puts us in our path to help them. And you know what 99% of the time they do? I'm not ready to make those changes in my life. See you later. Thanks anyway. I don't want to be them on Judgment Day, because we don't ask money from them. We don't put pressure on them. We don't coerce anybody. We just show them, this is what the scripture says. If you'd like to walk in fellowship and holiness and obedience and sound doctrine, we're with you. If not, we got to go down the gospel road. And we go down the gospel road and our hands are clean. Ezekiel 33 warned them, sound the trumpet, and then their blood is not on our hands. So I hope this teaching edifies you. It's a sure word that tells us we're to draw close to other true, holy, biblical saints, not compromise fellowship. See, compromise fellowship lets you stay compromised. I always say, you want to be an eagle? Fly with eagles. You want to be a pigeon? You're going to hang out with pigeons. You ever see eagles hang around pigeons? No, unless they're trying to eat them. You want to rise up in the things of God? Rise up with his people, striving in the things of God. You want to be lukewarm, worldly, and compromised? Stay in your Sunday church systems. Or come out of your church systems and stay in your diatrophies ways, doing your own thing. Yeah, you're not going to gain the kingdom of God that way. The kingdom of God is pressed in. We seek it, Matthew 6:33. We don't sit back and wait on our spiritual laurels. Holy Spirit draws us to come. He doesn't tell us to sit and stand still. Jesus said, strive to enter in. Paul says, work it out with fear and trembling. So it's a sure word that we know we're supposed to draw close to other saints. We're not supposed to be lone rangers if you know biblical true saints. And go read Corinthians. Paul says, because of Christ's shed blood, you're not your own. I'm not my own. What do you mean? We can't make our own way. You want to be in the body of Christ for salvation, but you don't want to be in the body of Christ for accountability, teaching, edification, training, getting exhorted, getting rebuked, giving a rebuke, correction, taking correction. You don't want to do that? Then you're not in the body. You don't want to love others? You don't have God. This is all very clear in Scripture. Don't make it cloudy. Don't make it confusing. It's very, very clear in Scripture. You know a tree by its fruit. And I see the fruit of all these men and some women that come along and say they're of God. And then when you test them to the Scriptures and show them where they have needs of areas to improve on, they go, I think we're just going to go away now. Okay. But the truth is known. You know it now. You will be held accountable. So go test yourself to this teaching. I will test my house as well. I hope you're ready to always receive godly, biblical, holy people into your life to help you grow. Or are you a prideful, I want to learn my own diatrophies to your own demise versus against what God would have for you? Hey, test that all out. Go to Scriptures. I hope that's edified you. Don't be a diatrophies. Don't be a lone ranger. Don't trample the blood of Christ staying in your compromise, your sin, your false ways, your idleness. These men that I talk to, they've been years and years, some of them on their own, some of them a short time maybe, but they're not moving forward in the things of God. I can tell you my testimony, and it's not because I'm smart, because I'm not smart. In the first year we were born again, we had 95% of our doctrine straight that I teach today, 15 years later, in the first year, on our own. That's all to the glory of God. I'm boasting in Jesus Christ. I could have never done that. Sister Amen couldn't have done that. That's the Word and the Spirit. There was a few things we had to tweak later that we found in Scripture. Yeah. These men that stumble around for years and not moving forward, it's not the Holy Spirit's fault. It's not the Word's fault. And when we come into their path and go, oh, we want to help you. We were there once. And they go, ah, yeah, we think we'll do it on our own. Be safe out there, they tell us. Be safe out there. They don't love us. They don't care about us. They don't want to speak into our lives. We don't ask for money. We don't ask for support. We don't ask for anything other than to glorify God together. And they don't even want to do that. So I'm going on here. A little bit of righteous anger. I care for their souls and I'm worried about these people. Today, this man, I kind of gave him a loving rebuke and sent him on his way and said, I fear for you. I hope you come to your senses and I hope you get into sound biblical doctrine, lest you're going to lose your soul in your idleness and in your partiality, favoring man. It's really idolatry. These people favor their flesh. They don't want to move too fast and leave sin. They favor their wife. I don't want to make her uncomfortable. Putting a head covering on? Come on, she won't understand that. They don't want to compromise their children. One man about 6 months ago wanted to come and street preach, learn how to street preach. Until he found out, wait, my 13-year-old daughter can't dress like a little harlot? I said, well, no, you got to teach her biblical. Well, she's not going to go for that, he said. I think I'll just do my own thing, he said. He was all up for him going and playing street preacher, holy, righteous man. But when it came time to get his house in order, his children that he's responsible for, he bailed and said, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, my wife will kill me if I do that. Change my daughter's dress. This is just an example of the kind of things we run into out here. So calling them out, pointing them in the right direction, teaching on our website. They can pick it up anytime as long as the internet's still up. I hope you're not at a diatrophies, and I hope that you're not living your own life and rejecting the people that God puts in your life. If they're biblical, they got a biblical gospel, and they're holy. Hey, I'm going to leave it right there. I could go on and on and on. We love you all in the Lord, traveling the gospel road. Maybe we won't get rained out at our preach this weekend, but it doesn't matter. Everywhere we go, God's putting people in our path, and we're spreading the seeds all over. I love to leave gospel cards and words and witness all over. You know why? The day they arrest me and throw me in jail for being a Christian, oh, I want the evidence to be overwhelming. So does Sister Amen. Let's leave it right there. Check out don'tperish.com and all our resources. We love you all. Go out and have a glorious day. May God be praised.